Hello all, and welcome to the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Kubal. Today I have with me a very special returning guest, Andrew Johnson. How are you doing today, Andrew?
I'm wonderful. I'm quite excited.
Yeah, sweet. If people have not checked out our first live, where it was your second book and first novel, right? Which is going to be The Ignited Moon. So we had a live with that with Chris from Bearded Book Beast, Marisa Wolf, and then Melissa Olaf. And you guys can, yeah, check that out and check out that live. And then Andrew and I actually did a separate interview for that as well. And we actually gave away his novella, The Discarded Knight, which has done really well, which we'll talk about a little later. So make sure you guys check those out in the description here. I'll leave those three links for you guys so you can take a look at that. The third one is going to be our live, has already happened, for Andrew's, by now the time that this podcast has released, for Andrew's third installment here, our third book, sorry, second installment in the Iron Frost universe. Boom, The Scorch Hunter, which is what we're mostly going to talk about today. But that live will be explicitly about The Scorch Hunter. Some people will be asking Andrew a couple questions. So please make sure you refer back to those three links. Check out Andrew's book and social links in the description. And please don't forget, we'd love you guys to subscribe because we're trying to go towards that 1,000 mark. That way we can hit that ceiling and get way more eyes on people like Andrew. Andrew, you know how this goes. Ready?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do this
Absolutely,
thing.
Part one.
So for those people who have not, unfortunately, seen our first three, if this is the first time that they're seeing you, right, our lives and the other interview, what has your writing journey been like up until this point?
Well, it hit a major turning point in May of this year. I went viral. I had over 10 million views on a X post, and, you know, sales and all that started flooding in. I mean, heck, there was at one point I had 47 sales in one day, and I was totally shocked by that. I ended up on a website that was dedicated to hating me, but I'm guessing it was probably all those crypto guys that kept claiming they bought out my books whenever, you know, it's print on demand.
Scammers are gonna scam,
right? I think scammers are going to scam and everything. And then I also ended up on this British version of Reddit, and I even started getting some little fan mail and everything. And before that point, it had its highs, it had its lows. I tried traditional publishing, but then I discovered, well, I'm going to go self-publishing, and now I'm at a point now where each month I find new readers and discover new things.
Well, that's awesome. So I'm going to ask a couple of subset questions just so people can get to know you a little bit more. Like I said, in case they haven't done those, you know, watched our other three lives, our two lives and other interviews. So please go check those out. You can pause here, check them out. You'll see those installments as they're going. Yeah.
Look below.
So Andrew, first of all, you have now had at least 1,000 sales, right?
For 1,003 at this point.
Sweet. Awesome. And by now, this is like late December, so we're hoping, right, that it's going to be way more than that, and we're going to push for it, right? So, but it's pretty awesome. So, I want the audience to know that, right? So, I'm thinking it was. Let me see where my calendar is here. So, it must have been. It's right before my son was born. So, it must have been about 4 years ago. It was a little over that, maybe four and a half years ago. The percentage of people that were indie authors who were selling, right, their own stuff. The percentage of authors that were making 200 sales in the lifetime career of a book. That's not like in a year or two, right? That's in the lifetime career of a book were under 200 sales. And that was literally like, it was like at least, it was like way over, I forget, but it was way over 80%, right? So you're already in an 18 to 20% category of people who have sold over 200 books, not just for one. Yeah, not just for one product, right? But for multiple.
Plus combined sales, three books.
Yeah. But that's amazing, right? So if you say per average, you're already over 300 for the three, right? Like well over 300. So you're already better than 18 to 20% of indie authors, which is awesome, right? But
it's insane. You know, like it's utterly insane.
Yeah, but I just want people to know that, right? So you're really growing right now. You know, and really The Scorch Hunter hasn't even really come out yet, right? Like by like when we're recording. Yeah. So everybody just want you to know December 5th is when The Scorch Hunter is coming out when we're recording it. By now, it will already have been out. So please take a look at that. All right. Cover's awesome. Story sounds amazing. We'll get more on that in a second. But Andrew, you go back a little bit. give us a little bit more for people who haven't seen, you know, our other interviews or maybe haven't seen you on other channels. You've had interviews with Chris from Bearded Book Beast, right? Mike Mowlin and those guys for Bald and Balding and some other ones, right? So Aaron Cordy, right? That was a great interview, by the way. I watched that one. It was awesome. So
I'll be seeing him again soon.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm hoping to see him again myself, or soon myself. But I want people to check those ones out as well, because those guys are amazing. Please subscribe to them as well. But so you are doing a lot, right? And it really came from, tell us a little bit more about that X post, because it wasn't just the post, right? Can you elaborate a little bit more on what you were doing and then how you kind of capitalized on that?
Well, I had the opportunity to have a signing at my local Barnes & Noble, which it took me basically a year of just like popping in every other month or so to talk about it with them. And eventually about, I think there were seven other authors, including one that was published by Disney. You could tell by the cover it was extravagant. And we got there, I set up, and people started flowing in, and some familiar faces, some not so familiar faces, a face that I haven't seen since I graduated in 2008, popped in there and bought a book, and I was like, oh my goodness, you have an age today, she must have the One Ring. It was great. And it did, the craziest part of it was that I would have sold 13 total copies, but somehow one just up and vanished and all that. So it took over an hour for me to be allowed to actually leave the Barnes & Noble. And eventually I was able to leave because we couldn't find that copy. So someone must have just been like absent-minded and everything. But after that, I posted the picture with a little bit of description. The picture was taken by my wonderful sister, Emily. And It just skyrocketed from there, and I guess it must be something that doesn't happen frequently at a Barnes & Noble that someone sells over 10 copies, and being indie. I have tried a few times now to get in a signing there, and there's a slight possibility around Thanksgiving of this year, but I'm going to have to check in again and so forth to see whether that happens. But it just totally exploded. Like I said, over 10 million views, went viral. I've got over 10,000 followers on X. Emails from people who I haven't seen in a while, people who I don't know at all, who were like, thank you for putting yourself out there. And one person, I think it was a bully, and I didn't really consider him a bully, and he was from a place I used to work. He said, I was really mean to you and all that, and I feel terrible about it, but I am very proud that you went and you pursued your dreams. And so it just kept building from there. And, October 4th, 2024 was the day I released The Discarded Knight, which is still my highest seller to this date. And, I beat that deadline, and that's a year deadline. And I hit 1,000 sales.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Andrew. We couldn't really see it. Do you mind?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I just want to make sure that, so if you guys just check that out, right? Like, super awesome cover. Story sounds awesome. I know a lot of people that have bought it. I know some people that have already read it and reviewed it and stuff. So make sure you guys check out The Discarded Knight. Sorry, Andrew. I just want to make sure, because it's a good plug there. It is your top seller right now, right? So
it is a top seller. I mean, it really is
like a shorter book. That's really impressive.
Oh yeah, it's only like 144 pages, give or take, and it's the only book out of the three that I have that has made it into a store. There's a La Trobe Chamber of Commerce that has 10 copies. I mean, I hope they've sold them all by now, but it made it into there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great and all that. And it's part of the community and everything, and if at all possible, I come from the town where Mr. Rogers and Arnold Palmer were born, where banana splits were invented, Rolling Rock beer and everything. So, hey, if I could have one of those little flags on a light post and everything that says author Andrew Johnston, that'd be totally awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just want to mention, I'm glad you explained that X post a little bit more, because you took it. I always talk to people like, you got to go do stuff, right? And then two things, right? You have to go do things to make things happen, and then you have to strike while the iron's hot. So you went out and did something, right? And even though there was 10 sales, it's like 12 sales, right? That's still 12 sales. You got out and met people. And if you had not done that and not, posted the picture that your sister took, you would not have gone viral. So I always want people to
No,
see,
I
right?
wouldn't.
Without this first thing, like you putting yourself out there physically, right? To go talk to people about your book, right? And you said you worked for a long time. That's wild to me because I've gone to Barnes and Noble. I'm lucky here. The Barnes and Noble's used to indie authors. I'm just blessed with where I'm at. Like I got a lot of opportunities for in person, which is my strategy here in the spring. But like I know you and I have talked, right? Like it's kind of hard around you, so it's a shame. But it is interesting, right? That if you had not worked so hard, for so long to get into that Barnes and Noble, right? You wouldn't have that popcorn effect to then, launch off. So, and you were at what? Maybe like 6,800
Something
X
in that
dollars.
ballpark,
Yeah, I
and now
think when
it's
I
like,
looked and then it started to tick up like a lot.
yeah, it's now at 10.3, and every day it wavers between 10.3 and 10.4, and I'm gonna guess that's a
You're
bot
getting
thing
rid of
or
the bots.
whatever.
You're getting rid of the bots. Yeah.
The bots, they just float in, float out.
Yeah, they're just like
The
every day,
bots
like
again.
they're going through. Yeah, it's wild. But I just want to mention that because it is interesting. Because again, and then I know we chatted and you like told me, like what was going on. I was like, you do this, this, and this, right? Like strike while the iron's hot. Like when you had that opportunity, I mean, you gained, right? You had to have been around 6,700 followers when I was looking at the post, and then yeah, like gain that many followers. I mean, you had some really cool people too, like positively, respond to your post. Like it was really awesome. So, but again, it wouldn't have happened, right, if you hadn't put yourself out there and sold 12 books. So that's pretty cool. And your sales ticked
Heck,
up.
I had somebody who made like a Peter Griffin cartoon version of me and
That
all
thing
that,
was
and then
awesome. I would get that
yeah.
printed and put it in your office. That thing
I
was awesome.
don't know, I don't know, I gotta figure out where it's at. I gotta find it and everything. And then people got excited because they like, he has the lamp.
That's
And they
awesome.
saw that in the background, and one guy said, oh, he's probably AI. And then I took a picture of myself going, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
And because I didn't
Yeah.
believe that I was a real person. It's like,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, it's super awesome. No, that was super cool. So now we'll get talking more about books. And, again, if people have not watched our other videos, interviews, and lives and stuff, so just so they know, what genre of genres do you currently write in and why?
Well, I currently write in epic fantasy, and eventually maybe I'll go and explore portal fantasy again. I write in fantasy specifically because of the immersive world building and just the overall journey of heroes discovering who they are and what they could potentially be. At this point, I'm going to start venturing into Grimdark. I'm roughly 26, 27,000 words into a Grimdark that will feature a one-legged farmer, a telepathic chef, and a soldier fresh out of training who plan to undermine a tyrannical government and stop a famine. And it's actually
Sold.
turning out pretty well.
Sold. Sold. Sold one. I'm
Full
sure
on.
there's some
Oh
people
yeah,
watching.
and
I'm sure there's some
it's
people
just
watching, right? Like when the pre-order's
yeah.
up, let us know because I already have to buy that, so.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's great. It's like and I call it a combination of John Wick and the Terminator because I have like a kind of Terminator-like character, and then because the book's called You Killed My Dragon, it's got that John Wick element to it and everything. And the one-legged farmer is the John Wick, only he's not like Keanu Reeves skilled. He's got the bare bones to hold his own.
That's awesome. I love every time you explain that. It just sounds epic. So I can't
Oh
wait. I'm sure there are other people in the audience right now. So we're gonna pause here, Andrew, and remind people that they can find you, right? On your book and social media links in the description below. So if that story sounds awesome to you and the Discarded Knight looks great, Scorch Hunter or the Ignited Moon, I think I got that in the right order. There we
Yep,
go.
I think you did. Yep.
Make sure you just
This is
take a moment
entitled
that we
a
can get the updates from Andrew for that book as well. So Andrew, we're gonna get
exactly.
talking so we can get the meat here. All right. And again, people, please watch the live that we just had on December 5th. The book will be out by now. So check that one out. We're gonna really dive really deep in. But Andrew, what is your book, The Scorch Hunter, about, and how'd you come up with this idea?
Well, the Scorch Hunter is about a woman scarred by dragonfire seeking self-acceptance in the downfall of a dictator. It is about finding out that your appearance does not make you as a person, and that it is your deeds that matter most. And it features a young woman who is deeply ashamed of a mistake she made that led to her having half her face burnt away. And she keeps to the woods. She's very reclusive and everything. But guess what? As it is in the real world, politics comes knocking on the door, and she can't hide because people are coming after her. And she has to venture out and solve problems and try to win the day on her storm bison. And that storm bison is this nice, big, fluffy, friendly creature that can create storms from his nostrils. And if it gets too cold, there's hail, there's snow and everything. And this book is filled with all kinds of magical creatures, and a lot of them can fly at the speed of an F-18. It's just kind of like a living, breathing, hey, if you put enough stuff on their back, you could have a flight that's done in no time and everything.
Cool.
Massachusetts to Florida is just like 2 seconds and all that and everything. You won't have time for peanuts or soda and anything. You'll save money because now you gotta buy them for a credit card and all that, and they cost, an arm and a leg. But this book was inspired by just like delivering that message that your appearance is not what's important, it's what you do that matters.
Oh, super cool.
Well, that's a really there's one thing you do really well, Andrew. I think on the blurbs and just explaining your stories to us and your characters and why you do things. You're very succinct. You hit all the notes really well, like exactly what people want to know, why they should read it. You give us a little bit of mystery at the same time. So if anybody wants to know how to sell a book, check out this interview, Andrew and my past interview with the Two Lives, because I feel like you
And
do
I
that
am
really
more than willing to
well.
help people learn how to pitch their book. I will help you pitch your book if you want. I will do what I can. Just hit me up email wise or what have you.
And again, Andrew's book, social links, all those kind of things will be in the description below here. But I just have to say though, because I think it's interesting. It's one thing when people, podcast people or whoever, right? When we ask you guys questions, right? But I think it's another thing to point out, you know what I mean? Like what people are doing really well, right? So if you guys take like pause here or come back and then go back over what Andrew just said, right? And really look at what he said based off the question, right? And I feel, Andrew, that you really did a great job thoroughly. Like you didn't go on and on, but you hit every single note that we would want to
Absolutely.
know to buy the book. So
That's
I just want to point out, right?
summarization.
That's craft. That's part of
Oh
craft, right? It's
yeah,
advertising,
summarization is key.
business. But yeah, but that I feel like you hit that one like really well. And you have it every time I've asked that type of question, you know. But that one in particular, I think you really nailed it there. And I think just for the audience, that will come, out through the writing too. I got to finish up the discarded night. I started. I got to finish up.
Well, it's a good book and everything. That one will
You're
hit
on my list
home.
for the new year, but I've been all over. So I started and then
I mean, well,
I
me
got
too. Heck, I'm reading People's History of the United States. I'm reading Lord of the Rings. I'm reading
to.
Absolute Batman by Scott Snyder. So it's like,
I'm
it's
like
everywhere.
eight books. I have like I'm 8 books behind my goal for the year, but I also have 10 books that I'm more than 50% of the way through. So I just have to like wrap up. And I also have Hunger Games
Right.
that I'm like halfway through. So I just gotta like buckle down. I gotta finish up 2 books between now and Wednesday, basically. And then probably start just knocking like dominoes. But so for the Scorch Hunter, do you mind telling us a little bit more about your main character, like what her name is, and just give us a little bit of like a rundown on her characterization a little bit?
Her name is Anna Brighton. She is kind of, I would say she's kind of like a rich girl, but she's not a rich girl in the sense of she, keeps into the high society, and she's more into the woods and everything. She knows the townsfolk, but she doesn't really interact with the townsfolk. She's a folk. She keeps to the woods. Nature is her cup of tea and everything. She hopes that one day her grandfather, who has been in and out of politics himself and is quite wealthy, will eventually go hunting with her. But he's just too busy rambling about the future of the country, and that's part of what leads her into the situation that she's in. And the surprises that you'll see will utterly shock you, which I, it's kind of a spoiler, but not really a spoiler. But she, as I said, she's real self-conscious about her appearance and everything. She doesn't want people to look at all that, those burns and her eye being sealed shut, because her eye sealed shut too
Oh, wow.
because of the accident. She doesn't want people looking at that and seeing that and judging her for that. And who's going to judge you in the woods? The rabbits aren't going to bother you. The deer aren't going to
Yeah,
bother
that's
you.
a
And
good
since
point,
she's a
too.
hunter and everything, and she's armed with a bow, it's not like she's going to run into a bear that says, I'm going to eat you and everything. No, you're not. You're going to be on the mantle and everything. And that's why I kind of want to, at some point, if I can, which I don't know if Cabela's will go for it. I want to do a book signing at Cabela's. I go all the
That
way
would be
down to
awesome.
Virginia and be like, right next to the pond with all the
They
trout and
sell
everything,
books
and be like,
there.
here,
Yeah,
Milo.
they sell books there. That's cool. I actually think that would be a really cool book signing. That'd be
That would
awesome.
be great.
That's awesome. Well, that's like for my prequel novella number one, for my urban fantasy trilogy, my Nathaniel Wither universe, like I totally effed up and I have like events that happen in 2011, but I have technology that and marine stuff that happens in 20 like 17 to 2019. So I have to figure out right what I'm gonna do because my character is a marine. He's a veteran. Once you get to you find out like how it becomes a monster hunter, right? So I totally screwed that up. But like it's interesting, right? Like I have to get all these things right? Because if he's going to be a marine veteran, I can't have those things be wrong, right? Like maybe you and I wouldn't notice, but the Marines
Oh,
definitely
people
would,
who have been seasoned and
right?
done it for decades would know and everything.
But it's interesting, right? That I gotta get that, but like it's like, but I want to get that right. I'm gonna make that point real quick because I think people are like, what's Dan talking about? But like, but it's interesting, right? I gotta get that because I'm like, but that's part of the character, right? So I want to, I also want to figure out how to incorporate, a lot of veterans, in the process of the book. I want them to take a lot of pride in the characters.
They could
I think
like
it'd
be
be,
beta readers and alpha readers for your book and everything.
But I think it'd be interesting for you though, is your character is a hunter, right? So I think Cabela's, that's why I mentioned that, because the Cabela's would be so freaking cool because the hunter aspect. I didn't think about that before we talked about, this book. But yeah, that's actually a good point, right? For you, your audience is fantasy, readers, but also probably could get some hunters in
Hunters.
there. So I think
Let's go to the Army
Cabela's.
Navy store or whatever it is and stuff. Like, here, we'll put this right here and all that. I actually, I was just thinking as you were saying, I'm like, shrink wrap the book and have someone dress up like a mermaid and jump into the fish pond in Cabela's and all that and just swim with the book and say, just go back and forth and occasionally go up to the surface for oxygen and then we come back and down and be like, book, 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 book,
I don't
book,
know,
book.
man. Those people are those actresses and actors are expensive. I had a friend do they
Well,
did
I
they were
imagine they are, and they have a lung capacity like Aquaman or something like
and
that.
I found out how much they made in a day. I was like, I am in the wrong career.
Exactly.
That's
I just
awesome.
need to float.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, that's super cool. But I do have to ask though, like, I know you talked about theme, and different things, but like, how did you why did you come up with the fact that she's scorched? Like, how did that process come about?
I wanted that concept of, people only seeing what's it for face value. Like they take people for face value. They take only people for what they see right there. Like you could look at somebody walking down the street and their clothes could all be disheveled and everything, pockets hanging out and so on. But for all you know, that person is a genius. And they're not, poor or anything, because we had a guy, we called him Bicycle Bob in our town, and turns out he was wealthy as the Dickens, but he decided to just ride around town on a bicycle. And then he became Dirt Bike Bob because he switched from a bicycle to a dirt bike, so he
That's
motorized himself and everything. So it's to show that, what you see right in front of you isn't exactly what is truly there.
I think that's great. No, I think that's great. I think there's so many times where like there was like back in the day, right, where like they would like on the CW or WGF, any of those, right? Like they had the people, right, where they would like I forget what the show was, but like they would It's almost like practical jokers, right? But it was just to see what people would do. And I'm totally blanking what the show was, but like they
Oh
did
yeah,
that
they
with
would do stuff like that. They'd say like, you know, they'd have a kidnapping or something like that, and
Well, they had a homeless guy. They had somebody pretend to be a homeless guy, go up and ask, right, people for help, and then he would go take off his
And people would
costume really
switch.
quick. Yeah, he would switch and they would be like, "Oh yeah, no problem." And then they came up to them, those people, right? They're like, "Hey, why did you this is the same guy." They're like, "Oh, we didn't recognize him." And they're like, "Oh, because you only saw him for face value, right? Like you saw,
Exactly.
you know." Yeah, so I think that is like a great,
Oh
great
yeah.
thing because we do that, right? So I
Oh, a
think that's
ton.
cool. Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's super cool. Before we get going, I love the titles: Discarded Knight, Ignited Moon, Scorch Hunter. Dragon One's cool too. So for me though, I'm wondering, and I know we've talked about this before, but again, if people haven't seen our other interviews. Or lives. How do you come up with your titles? You do it at the beginning and go with an idea, or do it at the end after you're like done with everything?
I use a method that I learned on YouTube to where I pick the two most important things in the book and then I go from there. Now, The Scorched Hunter was originally called Crim Noir because there's a political title for female governesses called Crim Noir because there's Prime and Crim Noir in the book. And so I had that for the longest time. And then I decided, well, you know what? We're going to keep with the fire theme within the Iron Cross universe. So we have the Ignited Moon, the Scorched Hunter, and then the next one, I haven't come up with a title yet. And, well, I have a title, but I'm going to come up with a more fire themed one. But the Scorched part of it was, you know, hey, she's, as we've said repeatedly, a hunter, and half her face is burnt away. So she's the Scorched Hunter. And that's how that came about.
I like it. I just like it because it's like, it's right in the title, first of all. They're great titles, and I like that method. I know you mentioned it before. I actually use that with really with my urban fantasies, because somebody actually suggested that to me as well. Because before I was kind of having trouble. Some of my fantasies, I'll do like lines from the book. But yeah, I really like that one though, because I don't know. I always like my urban fantasy titles more, but it's like. That's it's exactly what you have. So my first one's like The Hunted, and like the people are being hunted, right? Like it's pretty self-explanatory. But I just like yours because it just I think it they're great titles, first of all. They sound great and they really go right to the point. So I think people should definitely check that out. Speaking of your Iron Frost universe, can you tell us a little more about just the universe in general, and what it's about and why you created it?
Well, I created it because I wanted to have my own secondary world filled with just about everything I could enjoy and others could enjoy. So, you know, with the Ignited Moon, you get a more ancient world, and I was and still am into learning about the ancient world, such as ancient Egypt and the Mayans and the Aztecs and the Olmecs and so forth. And then, you know, there's another part of it where The Scorched Hunter exists. It's a little bit more Middle Ages, but I also threw in a kind of Clint Eastwood character. I wanted to do kind of a spaghetti western thing into it, but it didn't quite turn out that way. So I got the Clint Eastwood character in it, and you know, he acts as the man of no name, except he has more of a smart aleck attitude. And then there is a third part of it that will get explored in the final and third standalone Iron Frost universe book that is kind of my version of Universal Monsters to a much more extreme degree than what we see in the 1930s movies.
Oh, that's cool. So you brought up a couple things there, just to be clear for the audience. So, how are these books connected? These three, like the Ignited Moons.
Well, they're all connected, of course, in one single universe, but like the Ignited Moon is on one continent, the Scorched Hunter is on another continent, and then with that third book featuring that kind of my version of the Universal Monsters is on another continent, and the whole planet is three whole continents, and all of it was danced into existence. So when you read the Ignited Moon, you'll get a taste of that origin story, and with the Scorched Hunter, you're more along the lines of just how the world is in a more recent environment than an ancient environment that you would have with the Ignited Moon.
That's a great answer. And I'm just curious for, just to be clear, are these happening like timeline wise? Are these happening in kind of like the same age, or are they different time periods?
Same time period. Both the Scorched Hunter and the Enigma Moon are happening at the exact same time. Now, once I have fully figured out the third and final Iron Frost Universe book, that will be roughly 18 years after
Wow.
the fact. So, characters like Anna from the Scorched Hunter will be much older, much more in tune with herself and who she is and what she's capable of. And hopefully you may or may not see familiar characters. I haven't really decided yet. That's still up in the air. And the third and final one promises to be kind of almost like a team up sort of thing. Not quite Avengers or the Justice League, but it will be a bit of a team up sort of thing.
That's awesome. I love that because for my urban fantasy, I got like a series, and then I'm hoping to do like three of my one of my characters. Three of another. I have five characters, so they're all almost like a urban fantasy version of a D&D party, or different classes, and I'm gonna actually bring them together Avenger style, to save the world, for at least three books. So, yeah, I love the team ups. It's just even like with the DC comics, right? Like the Green
Oh,
Lantern
yeah.
and Green Arrow and Green Lantern, right?
Or
Or
Brave and the Bold.
I think that's awesome. Well, that's super cool.
Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about the Ignited Moon, but how does the Ignited Moon relate other than just the universe? Are there some shared characters, or is it really just like its own separate story compared to the Scorched Hunter?
It's its own separate story. Both books can act as standalones. That way, no one will get lost. And I encourage everyone to read both books because you get a taste of two different perspectives. Now, a slight difference, though, with the Scorched Hunter, because Scorched Hunter has multiple point of views versus the Ignited Moon just has Yotsil, which is one point of view
Oh,
character.
excellent.
But like I said, they both happen at the exact same time, and they challenge the imagination, they challenge the characters, and the stakes are about as high as you can get them.
Now, I that's a great answer too. And I think it's a great distinction to make. How did you find it writing like one POV versus multiple? Like, was it easy switchover for you, or did you find it was kind of difficult?
Well, I always wanted to do multiple point of views because I was inspired by A Song of Ice and Fire, which is the first book series that I've ever read that has multiple point of views. Technically speaking, in order of writing, The Scorched Hunter was written first,
Oh,
and
that's
The
right.
Ignited
I
Moon
forgot about that.
was written second. So it was a really big challenge to write only one point of view with The Ignited Moon, and that's why I kind of had to double up on things. With the Ignited Moon, because otherwise it would have been a much shorter book. It probably would have been closer to the length of the Discarded Knight because it's, I just need to pack on more problems and more issues. And then with the Scorched Hunter, it was just one overarching problem of a whole subgenre of problems that the characters will have to face. And there's a lot to handle. I saw a review of my the Scorched, not the Scorched Hunter, the Ignited Moon, where the reader had said there's just so much to it that there's a whole other vocabulary,
Oh, that's cool.
which is good. It's she said it's heavy. So I'm like, that's great. And then when
I've
I
been
heard the
getting
heavy part of it, I was like, there's that word again. Is there something
it.
wrong with the Earth's gravitational pull?
Could
No, Doc. There's nothing wrong with the gravitational pull.
be your moon's off, right?
Moon's off, right? Marty, you're not seeing fourth
It's
dimensionally.
not a spaceship. Do you mind? I should ask you this earlier. Do you mind telling us a little bit about the origin of the Scorched Hunter? Do you mind talking about that, or?
Like I said, I was just trying to write a story about, not judging people by their appearance. I also
Well, I'm
wanted to,
sorry.
I
You
used to be,
just meant like
yeah.
with because it was previously like Prim Noir, right? And then you
Well,
had
it's
a different
previously Prim
partner.
Noir. But, oh, okay. Well, all right. Well, we'll go with that. It was originally called Prim Noir, same story and so forth. But that went through the querying process. Eventually, found a small press. Small press turned out to be a complete and utter joke because the owner kept breaking contract and not doing things properly. And heck, the word duel on the back blurb was spelled two different ways. There was duel as in fighting and duel as in duel doors to a room.
Oh, I remember that. On the back. I remember that.
And,
yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And I, believe it or not, there's somebody who bought that final book from me. Wow. Like, they bought the final Prim Noir book and everything, and it's in Texas somewhere right now. Yeah. Someone enjoying it. And I'm like, well, good for you, buddy. It's got all the bumps, bruises, and band-aids and gum bands holding it together that publisher did. But yeah, that one was kind of put to rest for a little bit. And then when I finally decided to self-publish, you know, I went to the Scarlet Knight, then to the Ignite Moon, and then I went to the Scorched Hunter, and the Prim Noir went from that to Scorched Hunter, and I changed some stuff, sharpened my prose, and made it as nice as I could get it. And right now, at this point, it's got some pre-orders, it's got some people who are going to be reading it before it comes out, and I even have someone who got herself a free copy, and I happen to know this person from the very first writers group I was ever in, and that was many, 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 many years ago.
Oh, that's cool. I just mention it because you know, I know you were bummed, right? And as we all would be, right? Thinking that, like, hey, I made it, right? And then this is garbage, right? Like, with how, you know, because it's like a lot of people, right? Like, they just want money and they don't want
it. And got my hopes up.
But I just want to mention, though, that I think you were smart when you and I talked. And, you know, I suggested, right? I was like, I would just do this. And I think you did it really well because new cover, great. I personally like this title way more. And I like the other one, too, but I like this one way more. I just want to say, like, rebranding-wise, I think you did a really, really great job. And I think it fits a lot more with the Iron Frost, you know, universe. And I don't know. I think that when you're talking about indie, right, like, you got three great covers. And you got, you know, other books sound great as well. So you're gonna have five great books, right? Great titles. Blurbs are gonna be great. The other three are, and great covers. So I think that, you know, it's just a great lesson to learn for people, right? That, like, you gotta be patient and you have to find ways to do things, right? Like, I find people that are really good at what they do, but also can give me a deal or, you know, or something. Maybe like my, one of my covers, I got like a deal. It was like the first time, right? And I got a little bit. That's like what the person does, right? Not that I asked for it, it's just what they do, right? And then the next book would be, you know, the cover would be a little bit more or whatever. But, like, it took me a while, right? But I was able to find a good cover. And I think people are going to be – I think it's going to be awesome, right? And I might have to be a little bit more patient or save a little bit more. But, you know, I think it's good to do things like how you've done them, right, to really build your brand. And I love your, like, logo, too, for, like, the Iron Frost Universe books. And I think that – I love playing with it on Canva when I was doing the thumbnails and stuff. I was like, this is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was super, super cool. So I think that if people – are in that situation or thinking about things, right, that's something they can learn from, because you don't need a press necessarily, you know, to do things well. And I think that's what you're proving right here. So I think that's a good lesson for people to learn. So
absolutely.
Let's get into the Discarded Knight, though, because I think that is a great cover. The first time I saw that typography and that blue, like, portal, everything's just about it. That was one of the best decisions I've ever seen anybody do, particularly for novella. But what is your novella Discarded Knight about, and why should readers pick it up today? Why should they pause this interview and go pick it up?
Well, they should pause this interview and go pick it up, ebook and paperback version, and eventually audiobook version, because from what I've learned recently, is in the editing phase, the audiobook version of the Discarded Knight, it's going to take a little work, but we'll get it all fixed up and pretty. The book itself is about a Victorian era teen that goes from an outcast in his own home to a hero in another dimension. And in order for him to really become a hero, he's got to just, you know, build up his confidence, work with family, and learn how to joust. Because guess what? If he loses, everybody who he's ever met will cease to exist. There's some Batman references and a pinch of time travel and some dragons and asylum. And it really tackles the issue of bullying. which is something that we all, at one point or another, whether it's bullying ourselves or being bullied by someone else, have faced.
Yeah. No, I love the theme. Yeah, the cover looks great. I started it, so I might finish it up soon. I love novellas too. Like, I'm a novella freak. I actually just picked up Gareth L. Powell's one of his that I saw at the library. I was like, oh, we finally got this in. So I was like, yep, that's it. Yeah, novellas, novelettes, like short stories, I'll read them all. So I definitely want to make sure that people are, you know, checking that one out in the description. So make sure you do that. At some point, I'm going to need a paperback, though, Andrew, because it's such a cool cover.
Absolutely.
So if you could write about, if you could really like write any character, right, any universe, which character would it be and why? They just give you free reign. Who are you picking and why?
I would really, really, really like to write a deeply emotional Spider-Man comic that deals with just like the culmination and build up of all that he has dealt with and what he does with that. And, you know, hey, fight some old villains and fight some new villains and, you know, discover things that he thought he had overcome. I'm partial to the 616 Peter Parker Spider-Man and everything. And I actually, which arm is it? I gotta figure out which arm. I have the Tobey Maguire nice. Spider-Man.
That's awesome.
Symbol, which I got at a Comic-Con. I'm like, I've been to Comic-Con a while. They're selling beer and they're doing tattoos. It's Jimmy Christmas. This is weird. It's getting a little rated R over here.
That's awesome.
It's not just comics.
Have you ever read, it was probably like 2000 and 9/11, right? So it was like the 9/11 one, right? Where I think that run, it was like 2000, what was it? I can't remember what year it was. I think it was the 99. And then it goes all the way until really like it had like the same peeps together for quite a while. Even if there was like not all five of them, there was like three out of the five. And literally it goes to like 2007, I think was the last year, because I was a senior in high school. So one of the best graphic novels was Amazing Spider-Man. And the graphic novel was When the Stars Go Cold. Oh, my gosh. That's when he's like the building falls on it. There's just so many like key like things, right, that that I think are just like, as a writer, I'm like, that those runs were just like absolutely amazing. Oh, yeah. People ask me, right? I'm like, go check out Amazing Spider-Man. Like literally like maybe like end of 99 to 2006, 2007. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. They just had the best artists, the best writers. I mean, whoever was helming, you know, at the time with Stan Lee was just like freaking crushing it. So, it's some of the best Spider-Man stories, I've ever read. So if you haven't checked them out, definitely do that. So audience, I would do that too. So
absolutely. And Superior Spider-Man is also, very good.
Yeah. Well, it was wild because the Amazing Spider-Man, that's when they were like, at that time, that's when they were getting into like the different dimensions and like the different, like the Spider-Verse was really like being built at that time, the graphic novels and like getting more in depth. You were like, that's when like Peter's dad came back into the picture. That's when like there was more like ancient spider powers and things. It was just like really cool. So it was really neat. I actually like that more than them going towards the mutant side with him, with like the X-Men and stuff.
They got Spider-Verse, Spider-Geddon and all that. They and all that's with Dan Slott. I've got
have you seen the Nicolas Cage trailer or whatever? Have you seen the Spider-Noir? It actually looks really like
Spider-Noir the looks good. He's that with Nicolas Cage and everything. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Nicolas Cage. He's doing something awesome.
I think he would be. I Ghost Rider. I was like, I couldn't see him, and I mean, I liked it at the time. I still think the first one's actually pretty good. I actually thought there were some lines that he had the gravitas right to like. And like, especially when he's like, you know, whatever, like the Ghost Rider mantra or whatever, you know, I thought he did a really good job with that. But yeah, like he had the gravitas for it, but I think that Spider-Man Noir, at first I heard that, I was like, wait, what? And I thought more about it. I'm like, no, I think he'll actually like rock this out. I think he has that, the gravitas, but also like the comedic side, but also serious side. Right. I was thinking of like, my friend mentioned Face Off and we were discussing this. He's like,
he was amazing in Face Off. And
Right.
I'm like, yeah, that's true. And then there was like another one too, I forget, we were talking. He's like, if you mix these two characters, he goes, that's Spider-Man Noir. I'm like, that's
Yeah.
very fair. And I like the costume and everything. I thought they did like a really good job. So yeah, I'm like really excited about that one. All right, cool. Well, I know we're wrapping up on time here. We got a little bit left. So I want to make sure we have enough time to talk about news, updates, current projects, things like that. So feel free to give us the rundown again of what you got going on, just in case people like skip to the bottom of the, the end of the interview or something like that. So do you have any news, updates, current projects, anything like that you can share with us?
Well, I am working on, as I have said, a grimdark fantasy called You Killed My Dragon, which is a combination of John Wick and The Terminator, about a one-legged farmer, a telepathic chef, and a sh soldier fresh out of training trying to undermine a tyrannical government and stop a famine. I also have a novella that I started called A Cut Above the Rest about a kind of a sort of a groundskeeper for a graveyard in 1970s Latrobe, Pennsylvania, protecting souls from demons and a greedy
Awesome.
land developer. Those are the two projects that I am working on. More focused on the grimdark part of it and everything because I'm having a lot of fun with that. Other than that, there's not a whole lot going on. I am obviously going to be releasing in December, on the 5th of December, the Scorched Hunter, which, by the way, is the thickest of all the
Oh,
books I
yeah.
have put out so far. Is a chunker, not quite Brandon Sanderson chunker, but it will certainly fill in the gaps where those books don't quite stack and everything. And you can find everything as soon as my millennial brain works properly, all the links and everything on my author website. I have two out of the three books that I have out on there, and eventually I'll get the Scorched Hunter thrown on there. And there's plenty of interviews on that website. And I also encourage you to go to my blog, which is hwjohnston.blogspot.com, which has various little stories and articles and book reviews on there, including my review of Charles Dickens's Christmas Carol, which is the most popular review I have on there, which I read that every year
Oh, that's
because
cool.
it's just it's just magical and everything.
Yeah, that's fair. I just want to remind people that Andrew, in my live, I won't mention who was with us because right now we haven't recorded yet. Everybody said they're on board, right? But you never know. But go check it out. Me and Andrew with some peeps, December 5th, in our live section on the Fantasy and Sci-Fi Fanatics podcast, both on the YouTube, and we'll post the audio on all of our audio outlets on RSS.com, Spotify, those kind of things. So again, I want to just remind people, you can find all of Andrew's book and social links down below in the description, anywhere we're watching or listening to this podcast. But please make sure you guys check out the other interviews and lives that Andrew and I have done up until this point. That way you can maybe gain some knowledge on some of the other, books and stuff like that. Like The Discarded Knight, I know we talked quite a bit about in our first live, and then our first solo interview together, as well as the Ignited Moon. And yeah, the last one was the Ignited Moon live, right? So we talked a lot about that. And the other people we had in there like had such great questions. Like Chris from Bearded Book Beast and Marisa and Melissa, they just asked like amazing questions. So make sure you guys check those out. Please make sure you guys click subscribe for the YouTube channel. That would just help us out. And then of course, anything that you guys are getting from Andrew, whether it's a physical book from Amazon or Barnes and Noble or an ebook from one of those, audiobook eventually, those kind of things. If you guys don't mind, our main focus again is trying to review all the products that our authors and creators have.
Absolutely.
Because yeah, that just helps everybody. You'll see like Andrew be
Absolutely.
like, hey, and like check out this. And
Yeah.
reviews though will help people to do that. I don't look at reviews personally. I'm just like cover, blurb, author
Yeah.
seems cool. Let's do it.
Reviews are for the reader, for the readers and all that. You look at that blurb and you look at that cover and be like, wow, I'm gonna give this a shot.
Yep. And that's where like 99% of sales they've looked at recently for advertising for books. It doesn't even matter what the like sci-fi and fantasy especially though. Like urban fantasy I assume is the subgenre of that study. You guys can actually go and look this up. I'm not gonna put in the show notes, but you guys can take a look. But it came out about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. It was like right around my son was like 6 months or so. So he's getting there to be three, so it's coming up. But you can check that out and you can actually look at those statistics. And I think they even broke it down into like fiction, historical fiction, different things. But you can check it out so that way it can help.
help you guys. But Andrew, thank you so much. I'm sure we had a great time in the past on the live.
Yeah, it's always fun.
Yeah, but we're going to give away, a copy of this, a signed copy of the Scorch Hunter, like the first live we did. If people want to check out, by this point, Andrew and my other giveaway, will have already been completed. But maybe if Andrew doesn't mind, we can give away his other books in the future. So guys, make sure you take a look.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah, take a look at my website and the YouTube channel, and you guys can, and the Facebook group. Those would be the best ones, and you guys can get the live news and updates on those kind of things for Andrew, but for other authors as well. I'm going to start doing those at the first of the year, interpersonally. So, Andrew, thank you so much. Good luck with the Scorch. If there's anything else we can do, let me know, and we'll get it done. Sound good?
Absolutely. Sounds good.
Looks awesome. All right. You guys have a great rest of the day. See ya.